Hi everyone, and welcome to Service Accommodation Secrets podcast. Today I decided to go back to basics and talk about what is service accommodation. Service accommodation comes under many guises. People call it furnished holiday lets, contractor lets, corporate lets, service accommodation, and the biggest one being Airbnb. Service accommodation is not Airbnb. Airbnb is a marketing platform that markets people who provide service accommodation. But unfortunately, everybody seems to say, when you talk about service accommodation, are you doing Airbnb? Technically, yes, we're doing Airbnb because we promote our apartments, properties, whatever on Airbnb, but we're not doing Airbnb. We are providing service accommodation. So you may have done a training course about service accommodation where you've been told you can earn XXX amount and, you know, it's passive income, really easy. Well, unfortunately, I'm going to shatter those images because, yes, it technically can be easy depending on how you automate it. But at the same time, it can also be quite time consuming depending on issues that you might run into. So, what is service accommodation? Service accommodation is basically a property, which could be an apartment, a house. Some people do houseboats. There's some really weird and wonderful sort of things out there that people actually do service accommodation from. And basically, you're providing a fully functioning property that is like being a home away from home. So when somebody arrives at your property, they could just literally move in, they'll have all the wardrobes and everything, they can unpack their clothes, they can cook, they can have a shower, they can have a bath, there'll be towels provided, there's bedding provided. They literally, all they have to do is bring themselves and their clothes and any food they may require, things like toilet rolls, stuff like that. So it is usually self-catering. So we do provide welcome like toiletries, welcome toilet rolls, but we always make sure that people are aware that it is a self-catering product and that they do need to bring extras themselves if they want them. However, bedding's provided, towels provided. If they're on a long-term booking, then basically a weekly clean can often be provided. It depends on the agreement that you have. Some people don't want you to do a weekly clean. Other people insist on doing a weekly clean because it's a way of keeping an eye on your property. So as I say, in a nutshell, service accommodation means you're providing a property that someone can literally just come in, drop their bags and get going. They can live there as if they were, you know, at home, obviously without the family around. If they bring the family with them, different matter. But yeah, they can just literally come in and just get on with life and not have to, you know, worry about, oh, this is a hotel, you know, can only be, needs to be out of the room for the cleaner to come in, blah, blah, blah. They're literally there as if it's their house. As I say, there's different names for it. So I say furnished holiday lets, service accommodation, corporate lets, contractor lets, Airbnb, booking.com, but they all basically come under the same thing. Service accommodation can be time consuming, but equally you can make it as hands off as possible. So you could use a managing agent who will basically get the property for you, set it all up, arrange everything, and, you know, get all the bookings sorted for you. And then they will just pay you less their fees and any arrangements that you have with them. They will then pay you a net income. So you could see that technically as a passive income because somebody else is doing it for you. However, if you manage it yourself, and there's obviously things that you need to do. You need to get the apartment, house, whatever it is, set up from the start, which means furnishing it, going out, finding furnishings, or you could lease furniture. It sort of depends, you know, what you want to do. Then you obviously have to manage the bookings. So you need to make sure that you're not getting double bookings. If you've got more than one property, usually something like a channel manager is what you would need to ensure that you don't make those double bookings, because it's the last thing you need is you book someone in and then someone else also turns up at the same time, because obviously that's not good for anybody. So you can automate things like your cleaners so that you make sure you get messages sent out to your cleaners to say, I've got a booking, you need to do the clean on such and such a date. Obviously you've got to either trust those cleaners or you have to go around after every checkout and make sure a clean has been done to your satisfaction. We don't tend to do that because our cleans are very good, so we just trust them. And so far, touch wood, we've never had any problems. So, you know, if service accommodation is something that you're looking to get into, then obviously you need to be mindful of the sort of problems that you could have with it as well. So, as I say, just mentioned there, booking, double bookings could be one problem. People booking your property with the sole intention of having a party at your property, you really don't want those guests in, because you know they can just cause absolute havoc. So they can cause damage in the properties. They have tons of people coming in. You don't know who's in there. You'll have neighbours complaining. So they're the sort of things that you want to try and avoid. Quite often they come with just accepting one night bookings. I'm not saying that's the only scenario, but they do tend to be more likely to be a one night booking, because they're not going to want to pay a fortune to book an apartment or house, whatever, for a week and then hold a party for one night and it's cost them a lot of money. So usually they are, you know, your one night bookings. If you've got detections around the property, such as, you know, your security cameras outside of the property, then obviously you know they're in there and you need to go and deal with the problem. Now, again, that could be you dealing with the problem, or you have to have a security company in place who could go and evict them. The police won't really get involved. Many people have tried involving the police, just a waste of time. So, you know, it's just one of those problems you need to be aware of. Another problem could be ladies of the night. Now, some people embrace the ladies of the night and they're quite happy for them to be there and they don't cause any problems. They're actually probably one of the best guests in terms of how they leave the property. They don't want people to know they've been there. However, if you're managing a property that's in a block of flats, for instance, and you've got neighbours that are seeing men coming and going at all hours, that's not going to do you any favours in terms of keeping the people happy in the building. They're most likely going to want you to, you know, move out because that sort of thing's going on. So again, you want to clamp down on those types of things. You can usually spot them. They're usually two girls together, got usually a sort of Eastern European type name. They tend to be the ones that will be there. But again, if you've got the security cameras outside the properties, it's brilliant because you can see them going. You can immediately start to see what's happening. And you can, if they've come through Airbnb or booking.com, you can send the evidence to those online travel agents, basically, to say, look, these clearly are doing illegal, immoral things and we want them out of the property. Again, quite often by the time they've actually answered you, you better just go over and get them removed yourself. So again, security company or yourself, I've done it myself many a time. Make sure you build into your T's and C's that if they do book the property with that intention and they get caught, then there'll be no refunds, because they will want to get a refund from you if they can. So just make sure you build that into your T's and C's. So yeah, that's sort of in the sort of nutshell, that's what service accommodation is. It's providing a home away from home. So say it can come under many guises. You can have your cheaper type of property whereby you just want contractors, you don't want anybody else in, so you only need to provide basic sort of amenities. As long as they've got a bed and a kitchen, they're usually quite happy, and a bathroom, obviously. Whereas if you're sort of looking more for your corporates, your families type of thing, you want to make it more homely, more sort of, yes, I feel like I've, you know, just stepped out my front door and back into it again. And then you've got the more luxury end of the market, which, you know, is obviously quite expensive to sort of get into. But if it's something you can do, then the returns can be good. You have to bear in mind that it can be seasonal, depending on where you are, what sort of area you're doing it in. And also depends on your competition as well, because, you know, you could be in quite an oversaturated area, which is quite often the way these days, because there's so many people are doing courses on it. So many people going out and setting up, and it definitely oversaturates the area. So you do have to sort of be aware of that. But, you know, check out, see how many other people are doing in your area before you sort of go putting too much money into something. If you get a deal from a deal source, I'd be very, very sure of that deal. Do your own due diligence, because trust me, there are a lot of deal sources out there that will sell you a deal that doesn't work because they don't care. They get their money. They don't care. I'm not saying all deal sources are bad, but they are out there, unfortunately. And you do have to be aware of that. So just bear that in mind and make sure that you do check your own numbers, that you check the area, that you make sure, even if you can find out where the property is, go and drive past the property and make sure what area it's in. You know, don't just take a dual source's word for it, because I've spoken to many people that have got that completely wrong. So yeah, that sort of really is just all I wanted to say on service accommodation at this point, and just going back to the basics. If there's anything else that you think I may have missed or you'd like to know more information on, then do drop me a question. I'm more than happy to answer, and I will catch you on the next episode. Thank you.